I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
We are training ourselves to see how vulnerability leads to invincibility. Thank the Lord, because it's our earthly eyes. Our earthly eyes are constrained and compromised by this material world. And until we overcome the deception of their perception, we're going to stay focused on the material wealth and physical power as our sources of strength. And although everybody knows that everything earthly ultimately ends up letting us down, we still let ourselves rely on this world's shallow picture of strength until we take the time to look deeper and discover our Creator's bigger truth. Amen? So that's what we're doing today, and I'm asking you this question. Are you seeing things clearly? Ooh, voice crack. This might happen. That's why I got the water now. Are you seeing things clearly? Probably not, all right? Let's be honest. Probably not, because our sight can't help but adapt to our environment. No matter how distorted it is, we just do it. And I remember learning this. I remember reading a study when I was in high school. It was the coolest thing. It was, you know, one of the first times I read a book. I felt really proud of myself. I remember reading about this study in high school, and it always stuck with me. And it was where people wore these glasses that flipped your visual field upside down. Right? Have you ever seen this? It's called like the Innsbruck experiment, I think. And you're wearing these glasses, and it just takes whatever you see, and it flips it a full 180. And at first, everything is chaos, right? Because so the people, they like reached wrong, and they walked wrong, and they couldn't navigate the world that was right in front of their face, just like you'd think, because everything, you know, is flipped upside down. And for a while, their whole life just felt broken, but they said, we just want to see what happens. Keep wearing them, right? Because that's college. You go, all right, I'll try it. But here's the crazy part. After just 1 week, their brains begin to accept the distortion and adjust their perception and flipped it right side up. And suddenly, things felt normal again, and they became able to navigate normally, and upside down became right side up. I mean, their brain just said, all right, fine, this is now normal. And it stayed that way as long as they were wearing the glasses. But now, here's the nutty part, right? Now, when they took the glasses off, reality itself appeared to be the problem. And everything that they saw just normally was wrong. And it took another week to get things right, to see things back. It takes about a week for that to happen. Let that sink in, okay? Really think about what that means. That is crazy, because it means that we will normalize absolutely anything if we look through the wrong lens long enough, okay? Really, I mean, that's incredible. So the longer that we live with a flipped perspective, the more our heart will treat it like truth. Isn't that wild? I mean, whatever it is. We are so suggestible that when our own eyes tell us lies, our heart is willing to flip everything that it feels about reality, saying like, no, it's upside down. And eventually it says, okay, fine, up is down is up, right? And it'll flip everything that you know just to comply with a known lie. Yikes. Right? That should be terrifying. Yikes. Why that's so scary is the same reason why we're giving such a stern warning in Scripture about our heart. Because we are told, listen, above all else, guard your heart. Because everything you do flows from it. Right? And so you got to make sure that thing is like set on the truth. But FYI, the heart is deceitful above all things. And beyond cure. So look out, right? And so it's not just that our eyes can be fooled. The deeper problem is how our hearts help hide that truth. Because they can bend our reality by bending themselves to adjust our perception, just like the glass in a lens, right? And that can be bad or good. Because when a lens is carefully crafted to your condition, bent just the right way, right, it can actually bring the real world into focus. But if it is the wrong curve, right? The wrong prescription, the wrong fit, whatever it is. It can make everything fuzzier and farther and more distorted than it really is. So what could, you know, what could help can actually really hurt you. And that's what happens when we let our heart bend to a broken world, right? When we start seeing things the way the world tells us, it actually normalizes the brokenness. And that's, oh, that's so terrifying, right? It normalizes the brokenness of this world because bent hearts help the right thing look wrong. It makes right look wrong. It says, no, that's upside down. And if it's not corrected, it slowly trains us to accept and adapt to an upside down version of the truth. And it subtly, very so secretly, subtly convinces us that we are the weak link until we are willing to call the wrong thing strong. So we do. We just start going along with the world, right? You've seen those studies too, where just like 10 people all say the wrong thing, and then even though you know what's right, you just go along with it. And we just start seeing things the way that the world tells us. We start seeing control as a strength instead of a struggle. And vulnerability becomes liability instead of sincerity. Surrender looks like losing a battle instead of building a bridge. And power takes the form of earthly intimidation instead of that quiet confidence. Because we see this world as normal until we see Jesus. And that's the big secret, right? Because Jesus just flips everything back. Jesus, he refused to bend his heart to this world. And instead, he lived his whole life right side up, which looked, you know, backward to us, but he lived it right side up to paint the picture of real strength and prove the power of real truth. And on Palm Sunday, right, which is what we're celebrating today, Palm Sunday, a week before the cross, his challenging claim that he's right side up and the whole world is upside down, that challenging claim came to a climax when he came to confront the powers that be and all the Pharisees who were behind our false perspective of real power. You know, he said, no, you got it upside down. I'm the only thing that's right side up. Because a week before he flipped the script on life and death on the cross, he turned the tables on war and peace by charging into this battle on the back of a donkey. Because real power, he's telling us, real power does not need to rely on appearances because it has references. And we are told what references he has. It says, so this took place, right? The him coming in on a lowly, humble on a donkey. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by God through the prophet. And it says, quoting from the Old Testament, it says, say to daughter Zion, a.k.a. Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. So just when you see that, know who he is. On a colt, the foal of a donkey, that's your king. So in the story, the disciples went and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. So here we go, we're doing this thing, right? And as this unfolded, people assembled and a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. With others, you know, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, notice this, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed, he's just surrounded, like they are getting what's going on here. And they started shouting, Hosanna, which means save us, to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. How do they know that? Well, because to a faithful eye, the donkey didn't discredit his power. It confirmed his kingly identity. This is the guy. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? What are we doing here? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Which, you know, really, that doesn't answer the question. You know, who is this? Why are you guys doing all this? Because what they were really saying is, this is the you-know-who that you won't say. And here's a hint at what we see. The people only yell, save us, to a savior. And that right there, that is the secret message of Palm Sunday, right? Like, the secret message is, our heart has the power to conceal or reveal what is actually real, right? There's your two hearts. There's the people who knew who he was and the people who didn't want to know who he was. And so the donkey did not mean in any way that Jesus was less powerful than some expected. It meant that he was more powerful than some understood. It really said, this is who I am. It declared his kingship. And you see, it's because we forget that we got things flipped. So down here, weak men try to look strong. That's what we expect, right? We're like, you know, it's really the, in Aladdin, when the, you know, he comes and he has to have all the entourage and everything, like, that's a king, right? That's what that thing should look like. They try to look strong. However, in reality, truly strong men can afford to look weak, right? They don't need to put on appearances. So while a war horse, you know, like all decked out, might confirm like an earthly king to earthly eyes, It just takes a prophetic donkey to prove the supernatural sovereignty of the scriptural Savior to those who have a spiritual perspective. And that right there is why Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who can see that we are being saved, it is the power of God. And now notice in this whole thing that the cross itself does not change at all. And neither does Jesus. They stay the same. But our heart has to change for reality to get recognized. You know, it's the same thing every time. He's just saying, you need to change. Because we can't get the help that we need until we actually see the Savior that we already have. And so Palm Sunday was this wake-up call to rethink the way that we see this world, because some hearts saw a harmless human on a scrawny donkey, while others recognize a conquering king is coming to call his shot. And that little eye test was a reality check to help us see which way our heart is bent, toward the worldly or the holy. You know, whichever way you see it, you know where you are at, because God did this on purpose. God chose the foolish things of this world, right? Down here, he chose the foolish things of the world to shame the so-called wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the perception of the, you know, of the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things so that nobody may boast before him. Right? Saying you have it upside down. Because you see, God sent Jesus to seek and destroy every single upside down belief by personifying real true perfection, so we would see how backward our belief becomes when we bend our heart to the world's way. So he did. He came and he systematically, just by living life the right way, right? Just, which is so radical compared to how backward we have it. Just by living here, he systematically attacked our most common misconceptions to inspire our hearts to override our eyes and say, you're not seeing things clearly. Something is backward here. In another way, Jesus didn't just save us from sin. He disarmed its deception by correcting our perception. That's what he's here for. That's why we fix our eyes on him, right? Because that is how we see things right side up. And so he did it in many different ways. I want to run through a couple. First, he showed us this, that surrender can lead to freedom, right? And that is so backward. We have that so backward. Surrender is loss, right? This world naturally sees surrender as losing. Raising the white flag, I give up, right? And that's because down here we worship control. We say, that is the big deal. So, I mean, when you surrender, you lose control, you lose. You lose it. So to correct our belief that freedom means, you know, getting our way and staying in charge, Jesus came and he abandoned his ego completely. He said, I don't do nothing. I just do what I'm told. That's what I come here to do. It was whatever the Father shows me. That's what I do. He abandoned his ego. He said, it's not me. Your faith is manageable. It's always, you know, it's just, I am just a humble servant. And when he did that, he was actually freed from earth's authority and anxiety. You know, showed us what real power is, what real freedom looks like. Because when anybody tells God, not my will, but yours, right? When you actually surrender it like that, we may be forfeiting our control. We are. We're saying, like, I no longer have control. But we also get to drop our defenses. You know, that's the positive part. It's the same thing said different ways. We get to drop our defenses. And since God wins in the end, surrendering to his command just means joining the winning side. You know when you're beat. That's great. You're like, I'm going to keep fighting and keep losing. You know what? I surrender. I'm on your side. And he goes, great. How does it feel to be on the winning team? Pretty good. It's pretty good. So we get to join that winning side, and we get to be under his rule. And under his rule, there's really only one rule that we have to follow. Accept and enjoy your real life. That's all he wants. He's like, I want you to have everything, and I want you to avoid everything that hurts. Good surrender terms? I'll take them, right? Yeah. And second, he showed us that vulnerability can provide security. It's really an extension of the same thing, because down here we are so scared to be ourselves. We don't want to be ourselves. We put on that, you know, like we don't want to surrender. We don't want to be who we really are. Because in a broken world like this one down here, and there's no trust, and I think we can all agree to that. In a broken world without trust, we see exposure as an opportunity to be exploited, right? That's the, you got to always kind of stay in that stance. We can't be who we really are. Somebody's going to take advantage of it. So we keep our cards close to the chest. And we by default see other people as potential intruders. We're like, I'll let you through the walls, but you got to prove yourself, right? But Jesus came here and lived this open, inviting, and interruptible life. He said, whatever, anytime, come on in, you know? And he did that to welcome children and strangers and sinners, known, you know, like intruders, really problematic folks. And he said, bring them all into a close relationship, because he knew God's unbeatable battle plan, which was love conquers all. So get them in, you know, bring them closer. They're just getting closer to the big nuclear weapon. It's love, because love builds bridges where walls used to be, right? And it transforms, you know, former threats into assets. And so on the cross, he takes this all the way as far as it can go. On the cross, he makes himself incredibly, completely, totally vulnerable and completely drops his defenses and allows love to build a bridge to life itself. I mean, that's the power of love. Cue the Huey Lewis song right now, right? No. It's so incredible. He just says this, like, you think it's going the other way, and he just shows it. It's that. And the reason is this, because in a nutshell, here's the way to see it, right? We got to be completely in God's hands if we want to be completely under his protection. So the more vulnerable you are, the more surrendered everything you are over there, the more protected you are, the more free you are, the more safe you are, the more security you have. And so third, he showed us how humility can actually produce unity. And that is so backward again. This world says that humility, not a good idea, right? No, don't let people, like, you got to kind of exert yourself over them. Humility makes you small. And a higher status is what attracts us to each other. Oh, yeah, look at that guy. He's so powerful and tall and strong. Noah, they call him. I wish. No, I'm glad that he made this. I got nothing to be proud of. That's great and wonderful. Humility, that's excellent. But pride, because if you have pride is the thing that actually creates distance, right? Because our ego obstructs others from getting too close. You know, there's too much of you, not room for other people. So Jesus lowered himself. He lowered himself and served freely to everyone. And he moved toward people. He came to them, to the people that nobody else wanted. And that kind of humility did not weaken his influence. It actually deepened it. Because the proud may be able to gather a crowd, but only the humble can create closeness. And it doesn't matter. I mean, one humble, true, real, close relationship is worth so much more. Because relationships built on fear will never be as strong as a family built by love. You know, it's just those bonds are bigger, better, stronger. And fourth, here's one that I'm struggling with, I'm still working on. He showed us that scarcity can make you wealthy, right? Scarcity, having less can actually make you richer. And that's so tough, because everything in this world, and in this country especially, right, this world says that wealth is material and it's measured by quantity. How much do you got? Because more money means more options and more self-sufficiency. Ergo, I'm in charge, right? Like, that's good. However, Again, we know this stuff. It's just that we got it backwards. We've been trained to see it. However, scarcity has a way of helping us see the real riches that abundance can hide. To give you an example, you know this, right? When you're hungry, when you are actually feeling really hungry, boy, the value of bread sure skyrockets, right? There's times when you're like, oh, I wouldn't touch it. But when you're really hungry, anything looks good. And there are times, and every college student knows this, there are times when you are broke, you just don't have any money, that finding $5 feels like winning the lotto. You are like, yeah, let's go, McDonald's. This is going to be incredible, right? Five little dollars. And right now, you're thinking in way bigger terms. I need so much more than that. But when you take it away, all of a sudden that fiver will change your life. That's the perspective, you know. It just lets you know that everything is a gift. So Jesus lived a life lacking what the world wants to show how it trains our eyes to recognize that real treasure, saying, like, you're not even seeing it, and you're not even seeing what you got. Because scarcity doesn't save us, but it can ready us to receive God's bigger gifts by emptying our hands. You got to have, you're like, what are you giving me, Lord? I mean, if their hands are already full from everything in the world, no dice. And after all, you know this, it's easier. Just think about it this way. It is so much easier to claim your heavenly estate when nothing worldly is holding it here. So many, you know, this is why they say, you know, he tells us it's so much harder. Oh, you poor, poor rich people. It's going to be so hard for you to get into heaven because you got so much to lose. I got all this stuff on earth. I don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to lose all this. Meanwhile, look at the people who are having the hardest time and they go, sign me up. Let's go. I have had enough of that place. That is good. You lucky, you know, blessed are you. Poor, meek. And fifth, he showed us weakness can become strength, right? Whatever kind it is, weakness can become strength. It's really just strength in disguise because the world says weakness keeps victory out of reach, right? Weakness says you're never going to win anything. You know, you're just going to keep losing. I think of the guy next to the pool waiting to be healed. And he's just like, oh, it's this thing that's the problem. The world says that weakness will keep victory out of reach. And strength is the secret to success. You got to be bigger, stronger, faster to get it done. So we assume an image. We believe, you know, we buy into the world. Okay, world, that's what you say. We assume an image. We make it good. We put it on Facebook, make ourselves look better and better. And we conceal all of the cracks. And then we pretend to have power. Look at how strong I am. Is that working? No. Because Jesus proved that worldly weakness is spiritual strength. Because it deepens our dependence on God when that happens. You know, when you really, you got nothing here, you have to reach out and you have to depend on God more. And that strengthens the connection with the King. You become closer to the King of the universe. So while his donkey and his cross and his tears and everything that Jesus did while he was here made Jesus look weak to earthly eyes. You know, some king, they said. You know, made him look weak. Each moment of that supposed weakness tightened God's grip on him. Said, good, yeah, you let that stuff behind. And by doing that, it just made him stronger. So it made the grip strong enough that he could pull Jesus back into his full potential. You're going to come out of this thing. So when the cross seems to weaken us to death, look closer, because it also gets us closer to the King. And there is no stronger lifeline down here or beyond anywhere. That's where you want to be. And until we truly understand and accept that reality, we are going to misread our freedom and our security and our unity and our wealth and our strength the same way that the whole world misread its King. Just because it didn't appear the way that they thought, because it was upside down. And until we take the time to take those glasses off and stop our hearts from looking through the lens of this world, we're going to stay blind. We will continue to be blind and see it upside down. And Lord knows that I am learning that lesson. I would love to tell you that my faith is so strong and I'm getting there and it's so good. Just be like me. I'm afraid you're like me. I don't want that for you. I want you more because I am learning this lesson the hard way. And that's This cancer that I'm working through right now, and this cancer has a way, as all sickness does, of forcing you to open your eyes and analyze the truth that you have trained them to accept. You know, I want to believe all this stuff. I want to believe this and that. And then stuff happens and you go, God, I'm having a hard time making this make sense with what I believe. So I got to change the way I see things. And as much as we try to tell ourselves, you know, to see ourselves as these self-sufficient people, you know, like who can take care of themselves and save ourselves. God built our bodies with unavoidable weakness on purpose so that we would have to surrender to His strength. We say it a lot around here because we're real optimists, you know, but no one gets out of here alive. We're all going to die. That's by design, and it's brilliant because it'll humble you. It makes you vulnerable. It keeps you weak. All the stuff. That is actually really great. That big blessing is this. You're going to die. That's so great. Because it means we have to surrender at some point. We have to surrender to His strength. Because God cannot share His strength until we surrender to His will. And the best way to get us there is to take everything away, right? To take all of the worldly stuff away. And boy, has my sickness accelerated that process. Because as many of you know, I mean, because it's just in everybody's life everywhere. As many of you know, cancer is a stone-cold killer. Until you stop trusting your earthly eyes, right? Until you stop seeing it that way. Because just like Christ's Palm Sunday arrival, right? Looks can be deceiving when an enemy appears to be approaching as well, you know? You think that maybe it's an enemy, maybe it's not, because even our infirmities might be allies. Not because they're blessings in disguise. We say that, right? But I think that's burying the lead here. It's not like they're blessings in disguise. It's because we're still seeing backward. It is what it is, and God's like, I couldn't telegraph this more. I'm trying to tell you this is a blessing. He says it, you know, blessed are you this, and we go, I can't see it. I just can't see it because I'm seeing things backwards. And so listen, I got to tell you, over the last 8 weeks, since the going into surgery and everything, I have tried to put cancer in its place by letting God's bigger picture minimize its power. You know, make it look like it's, hey, it's not really anything. But I got to tell you, it still stings. It still stings because it's hard to keep those glasses off. And every single day, right now, in this moment, I got three things going on that I'm already mad about. Right now, I am frustrated by how hard swallowing and speaking still is. It's taking a lot of effort, and I hate it. And it's so frustrating. And I know it's good for me, and I hate that. I hate it all, right? Like, I want it to be easier according to my earthly perception, even though I know I don't. And I'll tell you right now, I'm angry about the routine that I have to maintain. I'm on this stupid diet where I can't have any salt and dairy. Those are my favorite things. Like, this is like, it is, I'm just upset about it. I got up this morning, I'm like, ooh, soda water with no sugar, hooray. Not exciting for me. My wife would love it. She'd be like, that's great. But I'm upset about it because my earthly eyes are seeing it wrong. And I'm overwhelmed by all of the appointments and prescriptions and bills and all of that stuff. It's just, it's the worst. And you know what? I am sad that I feel bad about it. I don't want to. I want my faith to be better. I wish I was. And I wish I could see it that way. And I'm upset with myself that I can't. But it's natural. It's the only thing. At the end of the day, when I bring this to God and I'm just saying, like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here, Lord? Like, what are we doing here? What am I supposed to say? I can't do it. And He goes, that's all right. It's okay. That's natural. We all see things through the worldly lens by default. You put them on the day you were born. So it is, you have gone native. That is how you see. Everything is upside down. And they only come off when we reach up and we take them off and we do it ourselves. And that takes a lot of courage and effort. And it takes an uncomfortable period of adjustment. Even when you take them off, you go, well, everything's upside down. I don't know how to live anymore. It was better with the world. You got to give it time. But when I take the time to make that effort, I can see things a little bit more right side up, right? And I think that's what all of us here are doing. That's what we all feel, is we can just start to see things flip where they should be. And I can see that weakness is building strength. You know, it's not natural, but I can start to see, yeah, no, this is right if I had it this way. Weakness is building strength because it started with all of you. You guys, you have helped me do this. This is why everything God says happens to be true, guys. And the more you lean on it, the more that you get to see these things. But it started with you because I'm not very social. I like being in social things, but it's mostly because I'm a maniac and I want you to tell me nice things. And I need people to do that because it's affirming. Anyway, it starts with all of you. I'm not social, and I don't like asking for help by default. Pride, 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 all over the place, right? But your prayers, and I am not kidding, your prayers have changed my wife, my life, our family, everything. Your prayers have done that. Your support, your encouragement, and your friendship has absolutely changed the way I see. Big time. Because the more vulnerable and humble that I am forced to be by this stupid cancer, the more close and connected I have become. God is love, and we're supposed to love each other, build the body and everything, and that's how we get closer to Him. It's working. It's true. And when I really look closer, I can see that since all of my uncertainty that's gone on here, I've actually never been more reassured. And since all of my anxiety that I have about how are things going to happen, I've never in my whole life felt more supported or had a bigger support group. And since having all this fear, a real, honest to God moment of fear that I'm going to die, I have never felt more fearless. God's honest truth. I had to go through that. And so as I go back to the hospital, I got to go back in on Tuesday for some more treatment. We're going to do the radioactive Noah's mutant thing here this next week. I'm not going to lie. I still see it as scary and uncomfortable. But I now know, every day, I know overturning my heart is just a matter of flipping my perspective by taking those earthly glasses off. You got to do it with deliberate, you know, effort. And the same goes for you about everything that you're going through. I get to say that. I promise you this is true. It is the same with everything that you are going through. However bad it is, if you can just get those glasses off, you can see how good it is. So I'm just ask that question again. Are you seeing things clearly? Really look at what's going on in your life. Are you seeing it clearly? Because when Jesus arrives in your life, do you see him as the king who can handle anything? Like, okay, good. This is an opportunity, a weakness. This is where me and God are really going to get at this thing. Or do you still have things upside down? You know, when you see the unexpected way that he approaches your battles in your health, in your marriage, in your finances, whatever it is that's going on, when you say, Lord, I need you, and he goes, here I come, and he comes in on a donkey, are you disappointed by the donkey? You know, did you say, Lord, I thought you were just going to rip it out of my life and we were going to go beat all the bad guys? You know, are you disappointed by that? Or are you excited to trust him and see the solution that you could never have expected? You know, I think that is honestly the answer to prayer that I've gotten. Lord, I need all these things. And he goes, all right, here it comes, cancer. And I went, well, that's stupid. I don't like that. I wish I had that faith to see it coming, right? To just go, oh, there's the donkey. Here's the cancer. It's the answer. Ooh, that's a good one. That's the next one. You know? Do you still see, ask yourself this in all honesty, do you still see defeat and danger and weakness in your life as reasons to worry? Instead of seeing them as signs of strength? Because if so, I just want you to take this away. This is Palm Sunday message, all right? If so, you need to know that the problem isn't Jesus and the way that he's coming to attack. That's not it. The problem is the lens. The problem is how we're seeing it. The problem is a heart that has spent way too long looking at this broken world while searching for a source of strength. So we don't recognize it when it comes. So take the glasses off, right? Take the glasses off. Turn to Jesus and let his heart and his example be your lens, his life. That's what it's for. Because if the earth can turn your eyes upside down in a week, right? So can God. Remember, it's a week to flip it, and it's a week to flip it back. And that's what this Holy Week is all about, right? This whole idea from Palm Sunday to Easter morning. We have this week set aside. There's all this tradition attached to it because it is an excellent opportunity to readjust our eyes by focusing on the picture of reality that Christ came to paint. You know, just really systematically, just surround yourself with it and really look at it, stare at it. Because once we do, we'll see that we have way more than this weakened warrior to help us fight our battles. We have a king who has already conquered life and death and everything in this entire world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you. We love you and we thank you. We thank you for flipping our world upside down to expose the truth that puts us right side up. We know we need it. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you make us see the true strength that comes from surrendering our weak worldly view and trusting in your surprising approach. And so, Lord Jesus, we praise you and we recognize your power is so supreme. So supreme that our eyes have a hard time seeing it. And we commit to taking our earthly glasses off every single day so your victory and our identity will come into focus just as you planned. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.